Hi and welcome to the Homeopathy Health Show. I'm Atiq Ahmed Bhatti, a fourth generation homeopath with over 25 years of professional experience and practice in this field of healing. The Homeopathy Health Show is the online voice of homeopathy around the world, promoting and raising awareness of this truly unique system of healing, which is suitable for all ages, young and old. Every week, I invite guests from the world of homeopathy to come and share their experiences, their work, offer insights, and essentially talk all things homeopathy. Why not visit www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast button to listen to the latest episodes. So let's begin today's show here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. Hi, and welcome to a unique two-part special of the Homeopathy Health Podcast on the topic of studying homeopathy. Now, if you've ever wanted to study homeopathy or were just curious about what it's like to study at a college or a school and the time that's involved, what's included, including the subjects that are covered, then this is the podcast for you. So in this two-part special, I'll be speaking to four students studying a four-year advanced diploma in homeopathy at the School of Homeopathy in the UK, whose principal is Manny Norland. And in fact, Manny has been on the podcast twice now. So do look back at the Homeopathy Health Podcast and you'll find a fascinating conversation with Manny Norland. We're actually going to be covering years 1, 2, 3, and 4. So the entire course of an advanced diploma in homeopathy. Now, the objective is very much to give you the real deal lowdown so you can be informed, inspired, and motivated to take up homeopathy as your choice of vocation. And in today's episode, which is part one of two, I welcome Kevin Green and Lisa Rao to the podcast. Kevin is a year one student at the school, and Lisa Rao is a year two student on the same course. Now, looking ahead in part two, I'll be in conversation with Nyla Chima, who is a year three student, and Fiona Jaffe, who is the final year student of the same course. So without further ado, Kevin Green and Lisa Rao, welcome to the Homeopathy Health Podcast here on the UK Health Radio Network.
Hi.
Thanks.
Hi.
Thanks, Atiq.
Woo! You know, I've always wondered, we should have some bloopers out there. As I should put some bloopers out, shouldn't I? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? Kevin, I'd like to start with you because you're in year one and that's the best place to start. You actually work as a neonatal charge nurse and a senior midwife at Gloucester Royal Hospital in the UK. A round of applause to you, actually, because you've been with the NHS for 12 years. So congratulations. And it's such a wonderful service that, you know, the staff at the NHS actually give. For those who may not know what I'm talking about, our healthcare system in the UK is called the NHS, which is National Health Service. And so well done, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Atiq. Yeah, started off many years ago.
You were introduced to homeopathy at a pretty young age. So do share, what was that moment where you decided? And this is going to be quite interesting for those looking to homeopathy to study because of the fact that you're already in the medical field, in medical healthcare, or should I say in healthcare per se, and the fact that you're with the NHS, and yet you've taken this route as far as homeopathy is concerned. So do share. I'm sure it's going to be fascinating.
So I was first introduced to homeopathy in my early teens. And it wasn't really a decision as such. Homeopathy, where I'm from, wasn't really existent at that point. And we kind of inherited a homeopath who relocated to Donegal in Ireland, where I'm from. And it was just by chance that my aunt had been to see her and really enjoyed the session that she had with our local homeopath. And she basically recommended her to me. I was struggling at the time with physical and mental health around schooling and things like that. And when I first went to the homeopath, it was one of those life-changing moments. And I was back month after month for many, many years. I'm sure she's fed off looking at me now. But yeah, that was a life-changing moment that kind of introduced that path to me because I didn't I didn't even know what homeopathy was before I actually went to see a homeopath, which was, I probably should have done some reading, but I kind of left it up to the faiths to decide whether it was going to be for me or not.
It's interesting because you mention in your bio, which you so kindly shared, that homeopathy was then always in the background, even though, subsequently you did various training courses. And of course, like we've said, you're working in the NHS. So it's quite a nice transformation, isn't it? Or should I say a natural progression into something which is a bit more, or should I say a lot more holistic, and more encompassing. And also the conversation as far as patients are concerned. And in fact, you make friends, right? Many patients, once they're healed, do become good friends. I mean, certainly happens to me all the time.
I've been very fortunate to have that with both sides of the coin. I've met people through homeopathy that have completely changed things for me, but also working in neonates and in midwifery, you're part of such fundamental, but part of such an integral part of the patients' lives that you do end up befriending parents through neonates or couples through midwifery, and it's been really nice for that as well.
Wonderful indeed. Moving to you, Lisa, you mentioned that you wanted to study 20 years ago, but of course you had young children, and that's a whole different life, isn't it? It's a beautiful life. It's the best life. And then you sort of started to pursue homeopathy as a profession or as a vocation.
Yes, that's right. So, a friend of mine was actually studying over 20 years ago. In fact, I think she actually was at the same school as us. And it was her that sort of brought it to my attention in the very beginning. And at the time, I was very keen to do the course. But obviously, as you've just pointed out, we've got young children, and we were both running, my husband and I were running a business together, and it was just never going to be the right time for me. So that was parked for 20 years. And my husband was quite unwell. And when we knew we hadn't got long, we were talking through life in general about things to do and to goals to achieve. And he asked me to promise him that when he wasn't here anymore, would I pick up that sort of idea and run with it and give it everything I'd got if it was still something I was passionate about. And to be honest, if it wasn't for the fact I'd made the promise, I think I would have now in an R because of my age. Thinking I'm quite a lot older to start studying again. And that was a big impact as well because I wasn't sure whether I would be able to fit that in with work as well. But no, it was the best decision I've made. And I'm really grateful to my husband for that because I know he'd be over the moon now for me.
Oh, that's really, really wonderful. And of course, my condolences. I know it must be, how many years has it been now?
He passed 5 years ago, but he was ill for four and he was very, very ill. So it was quite a journey.
So do accept my condolences and all the presenters of UK Health Radio
Thank you.
on their behalf. We send our condolences and best wishes to you. And may you go from strength to strength. And you're in the best profession, if you could call it a profession, the fact that you're able to now help others. That's just
Absolutely.
wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
I always refer to homeopathy as a service to humanity. And absolutely, it is under the umbrella of serving others. There's various modalities within that. Certainly, homeopathy is one of them.
Oh, without a doubt.
Now, on to the School of Homeopathy, and you are both in the first 2 years, or should I say, Kevin is in year one, and Lisa, you're in year two. So, Kevin, do share what it's like. What's year one like? What does one expect going in? I mean, are you studying online? Is it a hybrid system? Do you have to go in?
When I first signed up to the school, we were given the option of online study or doing the attendance course. At the time when I signed up, I was living in Edinburgh, so I commuted for the first 2 months because I decided to go for the attendance. I felt that if I did the online course, for me personally, I wouldn't have gone into it as well. So I decided to do the attendance. I commuted from Edinburgh the first 2 months, and then I decided to actually move down to Gloucestershire. I'm living in Gloucester at the minute and the school is in Stroud, which is about 20 minutes away. So it's worked out much better for me. And because of my job, I have the freedom to move around if I need to.
How long did that take from Edinburgh?
It was a 6.5 hour drive each way.
Wow. Now that's commitment, isn't it?
Okay. I actually quite enjoyed the road trip, to be honest. It gave me time to clear my head before the school weekend.
Amazing. That really is. I mean, that's commitment for you there. That's such a long drive indeed. So once you were at the attendance course, what was it like? I mean, what does... essentially, what's the first year? What does it involve? I mean, what do you cover as far as subjects are concerned?
It has been completely... I'm only at the very, very beginning, and it's been completely life-changing. All my expectations are completely exceeded and more. And Manny, the principal, actually said on day one that we will end up learning a lot about ourselves on the course. And he was not joking. That was it's been a complete eye-opener for me and for everybody in my group who we've all kind of shared experiences and things like that. It's not like any other school you've ever thought of before in your life. We all joke around and we call it Hogwarts because there is a magic around it. And Hawkwood College is literally the perfect place that the school could have been held at. It's an old manor house and we each have our own classrooms, but we're all together for the breaks and things. So we've actually integrated really well with the other year groups and everybody's been really friendly and welcoming. And anybody who's ever been struggling with the homework, everybody's always there to help pick them back up and kind of dust them off so everybody can carry on. And we've all had different kind of months where different people have struggled at different points, but we're really good at rallying around each other to spur each other on. So in my first year group, I'm one of 18. It's the perfect group and it's amazing how 18 people from completely different backgrounds. We're actually a very multinational, very diverse group as well. But we all come together really, really well. And yeah, it's been incredible.
You know, I'm going to call it the Hogwarts of homeopathy. I'm going to use that. I definitely am. I'm going to tell Manny first that I'm doing that. But it's, you know, you mentioned that it's a mansion and it's really beautiful. And as part of this two-part, of course, there are, for those who aren't aware, the official Instagram for the Homeopathy Health Podcast, which includes all the trailers and guest comments and so much more, is you can find me at @like_treats_like. So that's the official podcast channel as such. You'll find on there a number of videos specially recorded for this two-part special, including Manny Norland, Luke Norland, his brother, and Jeff Johnson. And there's also some exclusives of some videos that have been taken during lessons themselves. So you'll get a real idea. And it's such a nice environment, Kevin, you've mentioned. It's so relaxing, isn't it? And it's such a good way to learn.
It's incredible, yeah. The Hawkwood College has been fantastic. And the facilities, the food, everything has been amazing.
Oh, you mentioned food. Go on then. What did you get?
it's different every month that we attend. Sunday always involves a roast, which is amazing.
Ooh.
So that's probably the best thing that everybody looks forward to because we all head off back home on Sunday evening again.
Okay, so I know which day to visit. thanks for that. Yeah. So what are the subjects that are you going through, really, the sort of the principles of homeopathy and the philosophy? Is that what takes place in year one?
So everything is kind of is geared towards our homework questions that we get every month that we have to do in between the school weekends. So it's kind of has a set format that we get a philosophy question, a question from the Materia Medica, and it's basically we learn about that on our school weekend. So we usually cover two or three remedies, a bit of philosophy, but really it depends on who's teaching us that weekend. So we have a different teacher for the Saturday and the Sunday, and they change every month as well. So we have a set list that we have to get through then to cover the homework for that month.
And how many days do you have to commit in person, or can you are there courses available online in case you can't attend?
The online version, as far as I'm aware, they have all the same access that we do. The time restraints are a bit different, so there's more time for them to complete if they need, or they can complete sooner if that's what they're choosing to do. Annie, who sometimes attends our group, she actually lives in Florida, but she likes to come over for a couple of weekends. She has attended for two or three weekends now and has just joined our group with the first years. So wow. She likes to come over for that. And in her last, she was here last month, and she told us that she'd just completed her first year of study and has moved on to the second year, whereas we will be going in first year until June. We'll finish in June and second year starts in September.
Wonderful. And as far as reading material, I'm sure there's plenty.
The book list is fairly hefty for year one, but our go-to at the minute is Kent's repertory. Everything comes back to Kent. I think it's important for Manny feels that it's important for us to learn the old school way, which I really appreciate because that to me is the essence of the whole subject. We use the repertory a lot for our homework, and we're referring back to the books and the texts and the online clinics before using kind of online repertories and the kind of tech support side of things, the old school way first.
Manny is so right though, because everything that's being done as far as the progress of homeopathy is concerned, it all stems back down to the basics, you know.
Yeah.
Call it old school or call it original, the foundation, basically the foundation of homeopathy, because those homeopaths like James Tyler Kent and Constantine Herring and so many others, Bonninghausen, Beuricke, Clark, I mean, they were masters after the master Hahnemann himself. You know, they knew their remedies. They knew them so incredibly well that even today it's very hard to find a proving which is so detailed or so beautifully put together that as it was in those days. It's amazing, isn't it? It really is, you know.
But,
and they knew, if you look at, I'm sure you're going through Kent's philosophy book, the lectures on homeopathic philosophy.
Yeah, that's part of the curriculum. Yeah.
It's a very, very deep book, but it's absolutely profound that when I've read that book, I've always pictured Kent standing in a lecture room. And of course, in those days, it was challenging environment, you know, maybe it's a bit dusty, maybe the light was very dim, but teaching and having such a command of homeopathy, I mean, wow, you know, kudos, eh?
Yeah, incredible to think back at even in that time period, and for something this amazing to be born, basically, is just incredible.
Which now takes us on to year two. Woohoo, Lisa!
Woo-hoo.
So, do tell. So, moving on into year two, what can one expect? How does that progress?
Actually, to be honest, I thought last year was the best year. This year is absolutely amazing. It's flying by. We're spending a lot more time having videos to learn about case studies. So there's a lot more interaction in that respect. Year one, obviously, you're reading everything, but it makes it far more exciting to see it come to fruition, getting groups, and obviously then discuss our own opinions on what we think we're observing. It's a lot to learn, but it feels like once you've done it, you'll never forget it. It's incredible. I love it.
And what's involved? Is it the same type of schedule across the years as far as commitment at weekends or...
Yes, it is. So as Kevin's already said, we all go, if we're actually at the school, we're all there once a month for the whole weekend. And obviously in the week leading up to, we've got homework to complete ahead of time. But it works fabulously. It's like a little family. It literally feels like you're going home, and as though you've known everyone and they've been part of your life for your entire life. It's really surprising how quickly that seems to become sort of integral to most people's life very soon.
You know, I love that about homeopathy, and anybody listening to this podcast who's looking, seriously thinking about you know, looking to homeopathy as their preferred vocation or that calling. It's so beautiful to be able to study amongst those people who then become such good friends. It's very unique, I have to say, because the groups are not huge. You know, you've got hundreds and hundreds of people. You've got a group of people in any given year. And it's such a wonderful opportunity that even at break times, I know, you know, you can, or lunchtime, you can mingle with others as well. Yes. So it's just like one community. There's small communities which come together to make a big community. And it's so wonderful, that experience, isn't it?
It's actually really helpful because I think initially when you go, it takes you back to going to school. Mm. And in those days, people were like keep with their own year group and you're just not sure how it works, but it's just so not like that. In actual fact, at break times in particular, you often learn as much from a conversation with someone a year above, where you're sort of swapping stories and picking up information from different people, that you can then build your own idea. And it's just an expanse of knowledge and it's just never ending. It's just absolutely amazing. Yeah, so that's really, really helpful at break times.
And I know that some students do stay in the evenings, even sort of past the hours of study. And because of the environment, isn't it? And because of the friendship that's formed, right? And there's so many things to talk about, right? After lessons or after having just listened to a lecture.
Absolutely. And I think as well, because most of us do actually stay on site. So we've got our rooms and we make the most of it in the evening to catch up with everybody, sometimes go over things we've done in class to see if everyone's on the same page. And just really, it's just really lovely, just a lovely catch up with everybody. Sitting down, we've got all the books, huge, vast amounts of library books everywhere for people to sort of nip in and out and have a look through. It's just lovely.
It's so Hogwarts, honestly.
It definitely is.
It is, isn't it? Hey? So that makes Manny. What does that make Manny then? Tell me.
Dumbledore.
Hey?
Dumbledore.
Dumbledore, yeah. Manny's Dumbledore. I hope there's no Voldemort.
Not that I know of. Never have been told yet.
But I'm sure there's a remedy for that as well, right?
Yeah. One of the snakes.
You can imagine that, isn't it? If that was real, I'm sorry for those listening, but this is just the way it's going to go now. But, you know, Voldemort did turn up and he said, listen, mate, I've got a remedy. Come in for a consultation, eh? Come and sit down. Just get it off your chest. You know, why are you so upset? Oh, boy. So as far as books are concerned, Lisa, any change in the books or any additions?
To be honest with you, the first year, as Kevin's already said, there's an enormous amount of books that are suggested. And although there is a book list for year two as well, it's far smaller. Most of us, in all honesty, haven't bought many of them because we found that we can look them up in Stroud when we're there in the library books, or look online, or someone else will inevitably have a book with them from another year that you can look through. I think it's more in the beginning so that you've got the opportunity to learn how to use the books and reference them. So it makes it much easier in the second year just to sort of dip in and out of books. And there's also different authors as well. So some people are going to have an affinity with one more than another. So they'll sort of be drawn more to their work and relate to that. And so we all seem to get our favourites of who to pull a book out from.
So the next question would actually be, what are your favourites so far?
Right. Well, with Materia Medica, I love Richard Pitt. Absolutely love his book. His first book is nearly as big as Kent's repertory. It's very heavy. I think because in year two, you go more into depth about the personalities, as you know, and how people work. How it's far more in detail, but it's far more interesting because it's not peripheral, it's really going into the core. I love his style of writing. And equally, I do really love George Vitalkos, his books, love his style of writing. And Catherine Coulter, love her with her analysis on personalities and how to sort of work with different people and their strengths and weaknesses. I just find them very easy to read, probably because they're more modern as well. That does make a huge difference. I think that was a bit of an eye-opener to sort of relearn how to sort of understand what the concept of some of these books were initially, because it was a different language really to start with.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's, it is challenging initially because you think, oh, that some of the expressions and words used are quite difficult to understand. Yes, or just to put into context when one's thinking of the signature of remedies or just the remedies overall, you know.
Yeah, I think that after a while, as we'll all find out, I think once you've grasped how they work, it's a lot easier to interpret it into a more modern way of thinking.
Yeah.
And obviously these authors I particularly am drawn to are more modern with their use of English. It's much easier to read, really.
What about you, Kevin? Going back to year one, what are your favourite books, or are there none? Because year one is so intensive.
I've kind of got a top two. So whenever I enrolled for the school, I had to have a mini interview with Manny, which we've all had to do, I think, to secure our place. And Manny recommended reading George Vitalka's The Science of Homeopathy.
Right.
So I couldn't put it down. And if I had to put it down, it was a struggle because I was just so engrossed in it. And the way it was explained, it was literally how I had been thinking for many, many years, and it was like somebody was agreeing with me for the very first time. And it was the first time I was able to talk like that and share those thoughts without feeling like I was the only one thinking it. My second one would probably be Prisma by Frans Vermeulen, purely because you get the backstory to everything. It's like taking it back to the very, very basics. So you're learning everything about every remedy from scratch, of how it's actually made and what it's made from and the origins of that source and things, and that I like that side of it, the history end of it.
It's interesting. Franz is a really good friend of mine, and he's based in the US, and he's just finishing it. I think it's this year it's coming out. Yes, this Millifolium, the Materia Medica, which is just going to be amazing. I know how much work is being put into that, and I keep in quite regular contact with Franz, and it's really going to be an interesting book. I mean, that's one even I've got books coming out of my ears, you know, but that's a book I'll definitely be getting because it's going to have a different take on things, you know. It's interesting with homeopathy that books are so part and parcel. You may only need a book, right, just for one or two remedies sometimes, because it's just the way that the remedy is presented by a certain author that captures you, which does lead to a problem because the library sometimes becomes a bit bigger than you expected, you know. I have this problem, as you can see. For those who can't see, of course, I apologize, but as we record the podcast is always recorded video and audio, of course, and you can see in the back the mess. I'm trying to tidy up my books because there's so many. Problem is, I don't know where to put them because I use all of them. And mad as that sounds, and I just need them all at arm's length, which of course is just not possible, right? So, hey, thank God for the electronic versions, but there's a beauty in picking up a book, right, and reading it. It's totally different, isn't it?
Absolutely.
I must be proud of that, yeah.
Yeah. So do I.
Which aptly goes to the remedies themselves. Do tell about some of the remedies, Kevin, in year one that you're sort of looking through. What are the first few remedies?
I feel like at the very start of the course, we covered most of the kind of big name remedies that Hahnemann would have started with himself. So a lot of the big polycrests like aconite, arnica, belladonna. Belladonna's one of my favorites, to be honest. And again, we got the whole, in class, we got the whole background, the history, and that to me was just absolutely roped me in and kept me engrossed in it.
Wonderful. Have you covered in year one China?
We haven't yet, but I think it might be in the curriculum.
Yeah, love that one. You love that one for so many reasons.
Sepia as well. Sepia became one of my favorites.
It's so profound, that medicine, and people don't realize, you know, how incredibly powerful deep acting it is, you know, on so many levels, right?
But we even went back to like the very history of the mollusk and its evolution and how its kind of exoskeleton became the cuttle bone and the cuttlefish. It's just incredible, like, to think about it all.
It's amazing. It really is. I'm getting excited as well. Lisa, same question as such. What remedies do you cover in year two or a few of the ones?
We've only done a few at the moment because I think most of them we did in year one, or most of the ones we were going to cover at that time. We've spent some time quite interestingly looking at drug remedies like opium and cannabis. Looking at polarities is quite a big thing this year for us. So obviously the extremes of each drug remedy itself and how it can present itself. That's been really interesting, actually. I think for a while it did take us a few weeks at Stroud to grasp some of the concepts of it, but it's once you do, it's great. And I think also the different tutors have their, some are very animated, which is really helpful when you're trying, because they will help you to picture certain remedy in your mind, and you'll have the story that they've given you rather than one you've read in a book. And they're usually very entertaining. So we've done that, but we've also spent some time doing miasms now, which was, again, quite a big field for us initially. So interesting about psoriasis, psychosis and syphilis. The more and more we learn about it, the more and more you realise you don't know much about it, because it's just never ending, is it?
It's amazing.
Absolutely fascinating. And it does make you, you end up finding yourself looking at people you know, your family, friends, and sort of without even wanting to, find yourself analysing people, thinking, I wonder if you're, and then going home and looking in a preparatory book and trying to see if their personality or their physical ailments tie up. You end up practicing on them without them even asking.
It's bad, isn't it?
It just happens automatically. You can't help it after it starts. But it's brilliant.
I get myself in so much trouble with that, you know, analysing. You know, as homeopaths, you start observing. I just go to the supermarket, I go to Lidl, and I'll start observing people, you know, why they're picking certain foods, or why they're coming back and again, and they've gone around three times, you know, little things like that. And you think, because it's actually a personality type, right?
Absolutely. You
know? It's interesting. I mean, I know we don't have that time to go into it, but it's a fascinating subject in itself, how we're all so beautifully unique and individual. And even though we may have certain traits which are very, you know, if you go to the miasms, for example, if you just look at them and the type of symptomology and the picture, but still we're individual and we have certain traits. And it's interesting, isn't it, what makes us so unique?
It definitely is. And it's definitely something you can't switch off. I think once that light's gone on, it's like it's your life path. It's like a calling. And I think once you're on it, you'll look at it everywhere you go in some form or another, definitely.
It's, you know, I've come up to people and I've said to them, I've just walked up and said, listen, why are you sad? And they said, pardon? I said, what's wrong? I said, how do you know? And why do you know? And because they're random strangers, I think I need to stop doing that, actually. But I think it's not working out. But it's just interesting because you can pick up so much, right, just by looking at people and just observing them, even for a few minutes. Once you do homeopathy long enough and the remedies start to stick, you just automatically know certain. It doesn't mean that's the remedy they need, but just as far as constitutions are concerned, you know, you can go from calc carb or graphitis or pulsatilla or whatever it is, whatever, ignatia. And it's wonderful. I absolutely love it, you know, because I think it's a real blessing to be able to do that, because then you actually can help. So, Lisa, you so aptly mentioned about family and stuff, but it's good because if you know them from a homeopathic perspective, when they do get sick, you know some of the remedies that they need.
Absolutely.
And that makes it better for them, right? It's a win-win.
Yes, and in actual fact, even with my daughter, who's in her late teens, and her friends, quite a few of them all, they'll come to me straight away for my Helios kit and ask me. And it's been quite nice, actually, because I'm sure a lot of people in, like, the doctors and things, they'll see someone and they'll go out the door. But I get the feedback from being at home with them, and they'll say, you know, it's worked straight away, and they'll come back, or they'll get their mums to call me. And it's really nice, and it's exciting that you can help someone and also instill that sort of passion in some of them, because a couple of them have been in my, you were saying about your books, which is making me laugh, because yesterday I had three double IKEA bookcases delivered to add to the three I've already got, and I'm only in year two.
Billy bookcases, right?
Yes, woohoo! But I'm only in year two.
Same as me. I've got about 20 of them, and ceiling. I still need more.
Yeah, and I've just got to build them now, but that's another job. But
I've run out of space because there's no place for the patients to sit anymore because there's books everywhere.
Yeah, or leave them on the floor under your desk. That's what I've done. They're on the floor.
Oh boy. So, Kevin, do tell, what's your, I wanted to ask you, what's a favourite part so far? I know it's still early days, but what's really sort of taken your fancy as far as homeopathy is concerned and what you've learned so far or what you're going through?
To be honest, you feel like you go back every month and you feel like it's not going to be topped, and everybody comes away amazed as usual. And I can't actually think of a favorite moment because it's all been so incredible. Continues to be as well. And we're all excited about carrying on into the next year, despite the fact that we're panicking at the fact that first year is nearly gone. And we have these moments, and it's like these light bulb moments where we think, oh God, I don't know enough to be in year two. But actually, when we sit down and talk about it or think about it, we've actually learned mountains so far. And, it's really nice that we're all in the same situation. We're all in the same boat.
Yeah, it's wonderful. And, well, you've always got Lisa to talk to for year two.
Yeah, well, yes. We everybody ahead of us for that support as well to keep us going.
Absolutely. Well, that's exactly what we did, though. So year three for us, they're our go-to because they're obviously going to be able to help us with what we're getting stuck on at times, and we'll do the same for all of you. But I have to say, Kevin has always got a massive smile on his face every weekend. It's lovely. And you don't see anyone that's not beaming, really, do you? Because exactly like you've said, everyone can't wait to get there, reunite with everyone again, like a little family. It's just wonderful.
Highlight of the month.
I am planning to come over very soon, so I might surprise you on one of those days, you know.
That would be lovely.
I think that would be very, very nice and well overdue as well.
Definitely.
You know? Surprise! I'm back. Kevin, I was going to ask you something. That the training that you receive for the courses that you've done, the medical courses, the healthcare courses for the NHS, as far as training to be a nurse, etc., and then the mindset that is needed for that, or that the mindset that occurs as a result of, and the mindset as far as homeopathy is concerned, how did you find that initially, or were you just okay with that? Was it, because I know people struggle and they think, oh, okay, this is a totally different concept, you know.
That's a tricky question, but since starting the course, it's almost like having to compartmentalize each bit. When I'm at work in the hospital, homeopathy has to try and take a back seat. And then when I'm at school, everything else has to take the back seat.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, it actually has been a struggle. But before I started the course, despite having been using homeopathy for more than 15 years, I didn't realize how little I knew about it until I actually started training. So it's coming more and more to the forefront now that when I'm at hospital and I see certain things, it niggles a bit that you're thinking, oh, actually, homeopathy could help more here than what we're actually doing. Or the things that the NHS don't have as a facility, I'm seeing where homeopathy could step in. But it's unfortunately, it means having to keep that professional boundary and not be technically overstepping. Actually, my plan for homeopathy is to integrate everything that I've done so far and have a center as such that involves incorporating both for family health, for women's health, and for children's health. So that's the goal after this.
And I think you're absolutely going to achieve that. Best wishes, and I'm still around. I hope I'm going to be around for a long time. So whatever you need from me, from us, we're here to help you and support you, okay?
Thank you. That'd be great. Thank you.
Lisa, I was going to ask you the same thing as far as, because I know that you have a business that's supporting startups, aren't you? Startup businesses.
Yes, so that's right.
It's a different mindset, isn't it? Because you have to switch. So how do you find that? Is that relatively okay?
In actual fact, listening to Kevin, I often think about whether how it works for him is the split. For me, it's really exciting because I've done what I do for nearly 30 years. I love people. I love learning their stories and helping them on their journey and see them flourish. Some sell their businesses and move away and still come back to see me, which is lovely. My longer term dream really is to use our office centre and start accumulating people that are in the holistic field of work. So I've already spoken to a few people that know what I'm doing at the moment and are quite keen to join that further down the line if that's meant to be. So if it isn't meant to be in that particular building, then it will be in a different building and it'll be a wellness centre of some description that sort of encourages health and well-being on a different level, really. That's what I really, truly want to do.
Again, wonderful, amazing. And I know certainly you're going to achieve that. And again, you've got my support and everybody else behind me.
Thank you.
Yeah, and that's about 190,000 others.
Marvellous.
No pressure. Like I said at the beginning before recording, it's actually over 200,000. But I don't want to release that, although I've just technically done it. But the figure's much, much more. But anyway, well, I digress. It's been an absolute pleasure, you know, to have you both on. It's been such a wonderful conversation. And I would ask you for your parting thoughts, starting with Kevin, really, for those who are thinking, but not really sure about, do I need to do homeopathy? Got 4 years. Will I be okay? Will I understand it? You know, what do I need to do it? What do you think? What's your advice for them?
My advice would be to, if it's there at all and you've been looking up about the school or about the college or anything involved around it, reach out and get in touch with Manny and he will help make your mind up. But my advice would be take the leap. If it's there and you know you want to do it, you need to take the leap.
And Lisa?
I have to second that completely. Manny would very quickly encourage someone who has any interest in it whatsoever. I think if it even enters someone's mind, it's probably their pathway and they're probably meant to start their journey. We all start at a different stage in life for different reasons. Like I said, I was 55 when I started, and that was a factor that I was very concerned about. And when you get there, there's people in their 20s and in their 60s, and I don't think it's ever too late. And that's the big thing I would say. Don't think it's too late. It never will be. And you'll have that for life, won't you?
Absolutely. And yeah. And I just want to say for the record, because you mentioned your age twice, but I would have gone at least 12 to 15 years younger. So whatever remedy you're taking, can you kindly send me that in the post? I'll give you my address because boy, do I need it. So it's been an absolute joy to have you on, and I look forward to actually seeing you in real life very, very soon as well. And it's been great. And I think for the listeners, you know, that's what years one and two, and next week years three and four. So it should give you a real sort of the real feel as far as what's involved in studying homeopathy. So I would say, don't delay and start today. So Kevin and Lisa, thank you so very much. And I will talk to you very, very soon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Atik.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I do hope you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Homeopathy Health Show. Please do support the show by clicking follow on my socials. Remember, the more exposure the podcast receives, the better for homeopathy around the world. You can find me on Instagram by searching for @like_treatslike, and on both Facebook and TikTok by searching for @like_treatslike. So let's promote the voice of homeopathy on radio and podcast around the world together. Don't forget to visit me online at www.liketreatslike.co.uk and click on the radio and podcast tab. Here you'll be able to see all the guests that have joined me on the show so far. And of course, you can stream on demand the latest episode to your mobile, tablet or PC. Until next time, stay safe and take care.